Instant illumination. What is left over? Aha. What is left over? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. And our topic, what is left over? Interesting. The best usually is left for last. Story of Jesus at the wedding feast. He brought forth the wine by his word, and the wedding master said, "Why have you left for the last the finest wine?" And this was always a very interesting comment, an interesting statement. Why is it that the very best is oftentimes the last? You know, they let wine and beer age and other things of that nature. And they also let meat age, too. Animals like to let their meat age. They bury it, in fact, and let it age and become more perfect and more wonderful for them. Of course, that's not always the way we do things. But what is left over is oftentimes the most wonderful meal that anyone could have. Many times we take leftovers and we make a dinner out of it. And when you call it leftovers, you think it's something that is not the very best, is not what you really want. And so you put it aside and you think that, hey, this isn't just that cool. Whereas in reality, it is something very, very special. It is something very, very wonderful. My mother used to make, what did she make? She made this bread pudding. Yes, that was it. She made bread pudding. This was back in the 40s, the 30s and 40s. And as she made this bread pudding, it was always delicious and perfect. Everyone ate their fill. Oftentimes we had a whole meal just of the bread pudding. Mother would take the dried bread, the day-old bread, the week-old bread, and it was all hard and crisp, and she had put it into a pan, and then she would add to it milk or water. She would add to it raisins and add to it cinnamon, and she'd add to it all of the magic features that she was able to think about, because food was just not too abundant at that time, and so we made do with many things. But that bread pudding was absolutely excellent. If I were to ever find that again today, I would be delighted. But there's something that was put into that bread pudding that made it more special than anything you could buy in the stores or get in a restaurant or have in anyone else's home. And that is the love that my mother had for making sure all five of us kids and Pa had enough food to eat and were happily satisfied. And this oftentimes included the neighbor children who loved to come and eat at our house. And she put so much love into this bread pudding. She put so much love that everyone who came went away super satisfied. Not just satisfied, not just having had all they wanted to eat of it, but super satisfied because they felt rich and powerful and beautiful. I read a little article about a man who is traveled through the jungles of Brazil. And as he traveled through these 495 miles of jungle in Brazil, he said, "You don't wear shoes because the sand gets in there and chews up your feet. You wear sandals, you know. And you don't wear socks, and you don't wear shirts, and you wear as little, if anything, as possible, because if you don't, the moisture, the sweat, and all the things that get on you are going to just tear you to pieces." And he said, "I learned to get along on 1,000 calories a day of food." And he said, "I went down 35 pounds to 120 pounds, and he said, "I felt magnificent. I felt like I was Tarzan. I felt like I had all the strength and the power in the world." Now, this man wanted to get through that experience. He said the only thing that would have stopped him is if he died, and he did not die. He wanted very much to make this journey. He wanted to make this investigation that he was making to find out about the plants and the animals and the creatures who lived in that area. You see, the best was for the last. You would think that he would be all dressed up in his safari-type suits with a safari hat and with all the other things that they would have, but no. He found that going virtually naked through the jungle was the most satisfactory way, and that's why the natives dressed in that manner, because then the clothing wouldn't scratch on them. But they had to be careful because there were some plants that would reach out and rip at your skin. And there were leeches and there were other things that were disturbing. But he found he could handle them all once he realized that he was surrounded by a purity and a goodness that was his very nature. Yes, he felt like Tarzan on this diet of 1,000 calories. He felt more magnificent than he ever felt in his life. He could do anything. He could accomplish anything. We oftentimes worry that we don't get enough calories. We don't get enough minerals and food supplements and so forth in ourselves, and that this is why we don't feel too good. Whereas in truth, the best is the last. What's left over is really the greatest and most beneficial. This man kept a bag of rice with him that he ate and that he refilled whenever he could along the trail. And he ate a very simple and a very modest diet, but he was strong and he was powerful. He carried his equipment that he had to have that was very precious to his job, and he was able to do it. Now, the best was for the last. The rice would be what he would eat at the very end, but he would nibble wherever he could and he would eat wherever he could, but he found he didn't need all of those things that used to be so very important to him. And when he came back, his mind was crisper and sharper and more alert than any time in his entire lifetime. And he realized that sometimes by just making yourself too luxurious, making yourself filled with too many beautiful things, that you get into a lot of trouble. Because your body just isn't made for that. I enjoyed reading an article on China recently with its great money value coming to so many people who had never had it before. And they have these beautiful cities, these beautiful houses being built, the multi-storied apartment houses, and the people are living in them. And they go into this one building where they're buying the apartment, and the building is air-conditioned and beautiful and fabulous. And then they go up in the apartment and they find out that the air-conditioning there is quite expensive, and that all the smog that's all around them that puts a haze over their city clogs their throats and clogs their being. Here they wanted all of this luxury at the cost of killing themselves with all the pollution in the air. Yes, perhaps we must rethink ourselves. Perhaps we must have an instant illumination. And be aware that we don't need all these things that we think we want. And what is left over is really the most beautiful. The best is for last. And the people who lived on the outskirts of the city, who lived far away from the wind drift of the city, they lived a healthy, wonderful life. They lived harmonious. Oh, the people in the city, they had their television, their cars, their air conditioners, they had their refrigerators, they had their stoves, they had everything else like that. But what did they really have? All they had was bad breathing, bad elements. And because of the situation of the growing population over there, they're finding that their water purity is very much in need of some guidance. But who knows what joy we're going to have. I was reading about a lady in Alabama, and she's a lovely lady, but she's blind, and she is deaf, and she runs a little restaurant. She cooks, she makes the meals, she does a beautiful job, she is very well liked, and she's blind, and she is deaf. And she cannot see what she's doing. She has to do it all with her hands on her hot stove. My goodness. She cannot see. She cannot see what she's doing. And she's deaf. She cannot hear what's going on around her. She must be working with people who dearly love her, who dearly support every desire of her heart, and work with her harmoniously and joyfully. It's really interesting how what is left over, we think when we cannot see and we cannot hear, that life is over. And that's far from the truth. Because so long as we have a spirit of joy and harmony and peace within us, so long as we have the desire to be a loving person, so long as we reach out in our heart to the world around us to be of service in whatever way we can, not that we are needed, the world can get along probably easier without us, but when we're deaf and we're blind, and others guide and work with us and help us, they feel good. And the people who are served by us, they feel good. And they feel very good that they have come in and given us their business. You see, what's left over is not always useless material, as we sometimes may think. But sometimes, like the bread pudding, it is the most memorable meal of my entire life. Sometimes, the blind and deaf lady cooking on her electric stove, making meals for her guests and friends, is a magic piece that you'll never forget. And sometimes, when we open our heart and we listen to the inspiration of our inner self, we are illumined in ways we could never have dreamed possible. And everything functions and works in perfect divine accord at all times, in all ways. It's a joy sharing with you and giving you this instant illumination. But just remember, open your eyes too to all of these exciting things that are going on about you. The exciting adventures of those who are blind and those who are deaf. The exciting adventure of those who feel they want money, they want value, and so they will live anywhere and do anything to get it. And they have many problems in the process. But we can be sure that what is left over is sometimes the most treasured item of all. The best is often the last. Have a wonderful day, and know that the instant illumination is yours when you open your heart and your mind to it. I love you, I love you, I love you.